The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Okay, and we're going to begin today in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin at verse 31, coming from the NIV version. Verse 31, are you ready? Awesome, awesome. It reads, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, and a treasure in heaven that will never fail. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning." Say, lamps burning. "Like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they will immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching. When he comes, truly I will tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them." How about that? "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready." Say, ready. "Even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward the daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into." I'm going to read it from another version, and then we're going to pray. "But know this," this is New King James, I actually miswrote it on NIV, it's New King James, it says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." If I were to title this message, I would title it Unlocked. Can you say unlocked? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word of God. Bless it, increase it, enlarge it. Let us hear it and run today. We honor you today for focus, insight, and the ability to receive. We bless and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone with faith said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Praise God. Unlocked, unlocked. My first question today to you for your careful consideration is this. Have you ever left your house wondering, did I lock the door? Did I close the window? Oh, did you shut the garage? Honey, did you put the garage down and close the back door? Did you turn the blinds down? Have you ever been in this situation? Okay, I have a beautiful wife and two kids, 1, 2, 1, 6. And my wife, she's extremely thorough. Okay, a nickname in a former youth ministry that they used to call her, they called her AKA Spell Check, because she was always checking me. Amen. Husbands, don't say anything. So she's always checking. And as we would get ready to leave the garage and go somewhere, I would always see her counting on her fingers. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, sweetheart? And she would be saying, did I lock the door? Did Micah close the blinds? Did I turn off the stove? Did I do this or did I do that? And we would drive out, and I'm just looking at her shaking the head. And we would go a few minutes down the road, and she would swear in her heart, she didn't cuss, she would swear in her heart that we did not shut the garage. And I'm like, baby, please. Okay, you done talked for 10 minutes about locking the door. How many years are you going to do this? I shut the door already. I'm just talking to you. So imagine with me just for a moment, a time in your life that had you so captivated, it had you so focused, you were so engaged that when someone came to you and was talking, it was like Charlie Brown's teacher talking to you, wah, 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 wah. And they were like, are you even listening? Amen, amen. So did you leave your house unlocked? Is my house unlocked? Jesus teaches us and gives us his directions. He gives us his directions. He says, we begin our teaching when he says, seek his kingdom. And when doing all these things, or when doing seeking the kingdom, all these things shall be added on to you. All these things shall be added. And I ask, what are the things that he's saying? All these things shall be added. Well, for that, we're going to go earlier in the chapter. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus encourages them to be on guard against all greed. There was a rich, the scripture or the text actually titles it a rich fool, but he approached Jesus asking a crazy question. And Jesus is saying, be on guard against all greediness. Be on guard against the accessories and the everything that we had to get. Be on guard against that, saying a man's life does not consist of an abundance of his possessions. So just guard against that. He's saying those things can hinder us. They can trip us up. That they're around us. And you know our society is colorful and it's marketing. And it will draw us in. So we just need to guard against all greediness. And then he continues to say, do not worry. Can you say, do not worry? He says, do not worry. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will clothe yourself with. Do not worry about these things because I clothe the grass. I clothe the grass, and even the grass at this particular moment is stepped on. It's arrayed in beautiful green, especially in Florida. Y'all get water. Now I get water, and it's every day in humidity. Glory to God. I'm not used to that. Always sweating, my glasses fogging, and then stepping on grass and falling. I hurt my shoulder. Praise the Lord. Grass. So he clothes the grass that is here one day, and then the next day is gone. He clothes the lilies of the field. He clothes the birds and he says, hey, birds, I hook up and you're much more than birds. Don't worry. Don't worry, mom, where the money's going to come from. God will supply. He will take care of you. Don't worry. You sowed a seed in faith. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Don't worry. Jesus commands his followers to be constantly free of anxiety, okay? Because when we're free of worry, when we're free of these things, we have more energy and motivation to be generous with what God has entrusted unto us. Unto us. He tells us to seek his kingdom and all these things that we need will be given unto you. He continues to say, it's your Father's goodwill. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. And this is a crazy statement because anytime before that, he's always said, my Father, Jesus, my Father. But he looks to his disciples and he says, your Father. And the people that were there, it's your Father, giving the people confidence that this is more than just a man. There's a Father in heaven that looks upon you and reaches down and desires that you walk with him. Jesus was opening up the door. Praise God. He was opening up and he was telling them, to sell all your stuff. Get rid of all that excess. Give it away and give to the poor. Why was this? Because he was trying to make disciples. This was a tool. Selling all your stuff was a tool to train up of where our priorities are at. I'm telling you, I didn't listen to this. I heard Micah from the Lord, get rid of all your stuff. And I was kind of pompous at the time. I was young in my faith. This is when I just met him. I came out and I was hype and ready, walking around. And he was one of the ones, you don't know this, but like, hey, be careful. And he was about the 13th voice that told me to get rid of all of it. But I didn't listen. And so the Lord did a blessing and I lost everything. But I'm telling you something, it trained me up to not hold on that tight and to hold on to his leg. Wherever he was taking me, I would go. If he sent me to Florida, well, baby, I'm in Florida today and I will listen because he is faithful. Amen? Amen. Amen. It feels good in here today. Then he continues to say, to finish that, Jesus doesn't want us to be controlled by our possessions or worry about them. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Store up a heavenly, indestructible treasure. Earthly treasures are fragile. But a heavenly To be rich toward heaven is indestructible. It can handle stuff and it stand. Pow! Matrix. It can come back and you're good. I'm telling you to store up heavenly wealth. Amen? Amen. Then Christ switches gears on us. That was just to set us up for where we're going. He switches gears on us. And he tells us that we need to be ready for his coming back. We need to be ready for his coming back. And I want to encourage you today. This is kind of an old school message. It's kind of an old school message. And we don't preach things like this much today. But Jesus is coming back. Can you say that? He's coming back. He's coming back, and he's looking, and he's walking, and he is telling us to be ready. He is telling us to have readiness. It's our readiness. Verse 35 says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return for the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, that they can open the door immediately. I love this. Because he says to be dressed. There's no comma there. Be dressed ready. Be dressed ready. Does anyone have a mama that used to say, boy, if you're not ready by the time I walk out of the door, you're not going. That was my mom. We took a bunch of students to the Hillsong Young and Free concert last night. And there was a young man that wasn't ready. And unfortunately, he got... You finish the statement. Glory to God. But the Master, Jesus Christ the righteous, is coming back. He's coming back. He's returning. He's returning. And I want to tell you something. He's looking to see if we have readiness. If we are ready for his return. If we are ready for his return. Okay, the servants that are ready will be served by their master and blessed. This is powerful. This is powerful if you catch it. He's saying that he is walking to and fro, seeking who's ready, seeking who's available, seeking who is constantly seeking his faith, seeking if you're wanting him to overflow, seeking if you're creating an atmosphere of church at your home, if you're seeking his face, if you're living for him, he is walking to and fro, looking and wondering. And he says, wait, this is crazy. I tell you to be dressed and ready. How about I'll be dressed and ready and tell you to sit down, recline at the table, and why don't I cook and serve you? You telling me the King Jesus himself is about to cook up a chef's original to hook me up in my spirit, man, if I just seek him? We see this in Galilee. We see this when Jesus made a fish dinner on the on the shores of Galilee. And we get a taste that Jesus is a master chef. And I don't know about you, but I love seasoned goodies. Seasoned food will bless your life. It'll cause you to go into the spirit on the Lord's day and then realize, woo, earthly man. I'm just joking with you today, but this is real. Imagine that if we're called upon, those moments we've been called upon and we weren't prepared. Have you ever been embarrassed? Micah, you got something to say. We kind of do this little grimace. I didn't prepare. The master is wondering, are you prepared? Are you seeking after him? Are you seeking after him? Are you ready? There is a quick story. It's a quick story. But when I was a kid, I was a young kid, my mom said my uncle wanted me to come over to his house. This is dating myself when I say this, but my uncle had a Nintendo, and that was off the chain because we used to play Tecmo Bowl, and this was the game of the ages. Okay, and we would play and go in, and I was Walter Payton, and then when the Tecmo Bowl 2 came out, Jerry Rice, it was off the chain, and we would play, and my mom said I was going to my uncle's, and he would come pick me up. So I said, praise the Lord. I mean, could you imagine? Praise the Lord. And I'm sitting there wanting to go and wanting to be, and my mom said, he'll be here sometime tonight. So I went to the window, and I looked out. He wasn't there. So I went and ate some food, and then I went back to the window, looked out. He wasn't there. I saw beams coming. Could that be him? Nah. And this went on for about 3 hours until he came, and glory to God, I was translated. Just playing. Okay, but I was ready. I was ready. Amen. But somewhere along the line, when we have been fortified and we have become ready, we trip over something called our distractions. Our distractions. We trip over these things and it becomes difficult. And so I decided to do a personal survey as Pastor Damon, the anointed man of God. Call me. Hey, doc, I need you to cover me. You know, we're praying and we're fasting and we're seeking, and I need you to cover me. I was like, good Lord. So I sought after his face, and then all of a sudden I was like, what are the top distractions that keep us away from seeking him? So I asked some friends a few questions. Okay, I walked around and I asked, and I just began to take some notes for this last week. And I came up with my top six distractions. We good? You following me? Okay, good. We're going to have fun today. It's awesome. Everybody doing okay? Awesome. I'm feeling good, sir. So give me my good grade later. the top six distractions. And the first one is a big one. It's called comparisons. Comparisons. Oftentimes we have comparisons of other people's pursuits. Other people's pursuits. Looking at them and not at us. Looking at the way they did it or what they have and not us. Our pursuit of square footage versus what God has given. We don't know that God might have us in a small area or small something to reach a potential person before he blesses us with something bigger. Amen? Amen. But we're in a pursuit, okay, of other people's pursuits. And that has become a distraction to some. That has become a distraction to some. And the Lord is saying, are you ready? Don't be distracted with comparing yourself with someone else's pursuit. God gave them what he gave them, and he's given you what he's given you. If you knock on the door to find out what he's given you, baby, you might change the world. Amen. Amen. The next one is expectations. And I have in my notes, not on the screen, other people's expectations. Because sometimes people put their expectations of what you should be and what you should do and what you should not do. But I'm here to tell you that God knows exactly who he made you to be, and you can be all that he called you to be. Don't be distracted by other people's expectations. The next one, this is a good one, a powerful one. We can be distracted by our plans. Can I get an amen? We can be distracted by our own plans. I mean, oftentimes we might catch ourselves. We're hell-bent on the identity on a plan. I will retire at this age. I will reading business magazines saying that Johnny Come Lately did it this way, and that must be the way that we should do it. Hold up. Consider. Are you distracted by it? The book of Proverbs is chock full of many men, okay, many people that plan their own course. The book of 16, if you want to read it in a separate devotional time, really parks the car and zooms in on that, because there's a scripture that I love. It says, many are the plans of man, but it's the Lord that guides the steps. Can we be flexible enough that if our plan doesn't work left, he might turn our course? GPS. I love GPS because it starts with a G, and it might be God positioning us strategically. I don't know. The Lord just gave me that right now. Hallelujah. Serious. That's powerful. Praise God. We having fun today. It's because you're pastors. I can be free. Hallelujah. Okay. this is awesome. Here's another big one, and this is simple, okay? It might be a distraction that our past. We're distracted from the past. Some of us, it might be revenge. So caught up with trying to prove that we're not what you said I was in high school. So caught up with measurements. Sometimes they might have measurements, but they need that stick-to-itiveness that you have. And they might be calling you in another 6 months. So don't look at them and say, I want to be like them. Look at him and say, bring them to me because I'll bring them to him. Amen. 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 Don't be distracted, number five, by busyness. I've been guilty of this. Our cluttered schedules. Yes, I'll be available. Oh, I'll come to this. No, I'll do this. I'll do this. No, because it might be a distraction keeping you from hearing the voice of God, and God's ever so trying to course correct you. He's ever trying to guide you, and if we're so busy, we have already pre-planned our time without him. Without him. And the last one is a big one. It's a big one. Number six is technology. Can I get an amen? Yeah, it's a real piece. It's a real piece. And it's pretty self-explanatory regarding this. But I'm in student ministry, and oftentimes we're in a dark situation like this. And the crazy thing is you see hundreds of students with, okay, earplugs in their ears and glowing screens. So this false light is attracting us so much. Therefore, they don't know how to speak, how to look people in the eye. We have all these attention span things happening because it's tripping us up. There is actually a business term called digital responsibility. Digital responsibility. We must be responsible for our technology. Oftentimes, have you ever been in a situation, or maybe it's you, or maybe been at someone's house where one screen was on the TV, another screen was on the computer, and then the person is scrolling on their phone. And it's like, man, this is a screen party. This is our generation. And it's not just in our kids, it's in us. And I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at us. Because we cannot be distracted by these six things. It can't hold us back. The Lord is really trying to get our attention. But let's not think of distractions just as, hey, that's too much TV. I need to turn off the TV. That's too much internet. That's too much social media. I need to turn that off. No, let's consider the real motivation behind the distraction. The real motivation behind the distraction. It's not the individual distraction. It's after your heart. It's after your pursuit. It's trying to get in the way of your pursuit of him. Okay? It's likened unto a thief. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is Christ speaking. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Another verse in earlier that I read is, it says, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. Another verse, which is the focus verse, it says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. All three of those deal with the thief. The thief. Dealing with the thief. And this is huge. First of all, it talks about a moth destroying. Okay, I don't know if we deal with this in Florida yet. I haven't went through a whole yearly cycle. Okay, but in Colorado, some people have to purchase mothballs, okay, and put them in their closet because these moths have a way of going into a closet and eating up all your Prada. See, but I don't have Prada. I have Rada, and it eats up all my Rada. J- Just playing. I've never seen that brand. It's just off the head. So moths destroy. And it's saying to store up treasures in heaven so that the moth, this sinful filled world, will not destroy your earthen treasure. Then it says, where no thief can approach. Where no thief can approach. This is powerful. And I'm on the home stretch, sir. This is powerful. There are three approaches to thieves. Three approaches to thieves. Approach number one is spying thieves. Can you say spying thieves? Two is robbing thieves, and the third one is stealthy thieves. Let's jump in. Spying thieves, okay? Spies are people or things that secretly collect and report information without permission. These are spies. See, that there are spying thieves all around us, so much so that we've named our software spyware. Consider. Maybe they know something we don't know, okay? But are spies really needed? Or do we give all of our stuff away freely? Do we just give all of our stuff away freely? We have created a platform to give everything away, and people are monitoring our interactions, developing a profile of us, so now they know our tendencies, so they can catch us, trip us, and we be distracted from the kingdom because we're caught, because we're feeling a certain way. Just throwing that out there for your consideration. Nothing's private anymore. Nothing's private. Everything's public. We don't have a balance between, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't post that. You might need to hold it back. Call someone before you just post for public consumption. Spies. See, this way causes our relationships to be superficial. We don't have human touch. We have human screens. And that is an oxymoron. A screen and a human. That's not organic. Okay? Amen. Amen. We good? Amen, amen. Next one, robbing thieves. Robbing things. Robbers are ones who take from you openly, and usually their methods are by violence. Robbers are bodacious. In my mind, I'm thinking of Boys in the Hood. If you haven't seen that movie, you don't need to invest. It'll waste your time. But those of you who know, you understand. Robbers bust all in. King Herod begins to preach to me because he heard a prophecy in his ear, and that prophecy began to speak, and King Herod all of a sudden said, no, let's send some robbers and kill all the firstborn children because I am the king. Not considering that God was sending a king to bring peace to his land. King Herod needed peace too. So he, instead of that, went and robbed people of their children. And I want you to know something, that the devil don't care about you. The devil don't care about you. I don't care if it's packaged in a certain way. He don't care about you. That's not good English. He doesn't care about you. Bullies bust into our life and they're aggressive. They bust into our doors. They invade our space. They come in blaring sounds. They might interrupt your time. Be careful for people approaching you who always have a problem. I'm not saying it's bad, but who always have a problem, and I've been with you for 16 years, and you're still tripping on the same thing. Be careful, because they might be a hindrance to your connection to the master. Give them over to the Lord and seek his face yourself. Amen? Okay, they might be here to steal you. They want to take your purpose. They want to take your gifting. They might want to stifle your creativity. And here's where we land. Stealthy thieves. Stealthy thieves. This is really powerful. Okay, the word or the term stealth is a person who steals another person's property, especially by stealth or without using force or violence. This word describes the technology that makes seeing something or someone or hearing something very difficult. This is the thieves that are silent killers. They're silent killers. The thief cometh not only to steal, but he wants to kill and ultimately destroy. I love the next part. It says, but I. But I have come that you may be able to punk the enemy and walk therein. I have come. This silent killer, they want to take away our children's innocence. Okay, sometimes it's through media that slowly lulls one to sleep, desensitizing the mind. We must arm ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We must be leery of secret spies that are gathering our stuff and they're approaching us in a stealthy way. We have to guard ourselves. Sometimes they approach us in uncensored, unlimited internet access. Corinthians says, not everything is beneficial. Not everything is beneficial. Just because you're old enough to watch it or you have the access to get it, it's not necessarily beneficial. The master is coming back. Jesus is calling us. Do you hear him? Do you see him? Or are we distracted? Or are we distracted? Last story, and then we're going to pray. I was in Italy as a student in college, studying abroad. And we had our spring break. It was awesome. Okay, and spring break came, and it approached us. And you know, everyone had, I really didn't have much money. You know, my mom said, boy, you want to go abroad? Earn your way. But it forced me to be creative. And so I used every gift and every talent, and I earned my way. And I figured it out. And on this spring break, I was going to go to the island of Capri. This is in the central part of Italia, okay, by Naples. And I caught a ride. I got there and caught a ferry, whoop, paid my fare, went over the lake, or over the ocean, rather, and got to the island. And there was a competition always to see if young student travelers could actually scale the island. It was kind of mountainous and to scale the island. And so I always liked a good challenge. And so, man, praise God. I grabbed my Discman. You know, this is dating me again. My Discman, I had it in my backpack and I was going to scale. I had a little bit of a meal and I was going to walk this mountain all day long. So for a second, could you imagine I'm just putting on these earphones, right? Sorry, in an imagination. I'm walking up this mountain, walking up this mountain. The sun goes down, walking up this mountain, still with these headphones on, walking up this mountain. I'm good. The sun starts to set. I'm over halfway and I'm like, man, ain't nothing stopping me. I start getting toward the top. I start getting to the place for which I can go. And all of a sudden I felt like something was following me. So I turned around, didn't see anything. So I kept going, right? Kept going. A few more miles. And this overwhelming thing was like, something is falling. And I look back again, nothing. Man, I'm tripping, man. You hear my phone ring? You know, and all of a sudden I'm continuing to walk and I felt it again. And I'm like, I'm about to catch whoever this is slipping. Okay, so I grabbed a pen and I'm like, and I turned around. And there was about 100 cats behind me. It caused me to lose my mind. Ah! And I ran back down the mountain. Here's the moral. The cats were stealth. They crept up on me. I wasn't aware of them. Is your house unlocked? Jesus is coming. God bless you. 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 God
bless you. Were you able to give yourself an answer to that question? Here's the thing that I was wondering. I was wondering if he made it to the top of the mountain. Anybody else? He had gotten that far, and the thief distracted him from getting to the top. Where are you right now? Have you turned back? Because things have been taken. This morning, I want to just connect with him because Jesus has obviously unlocked an opportunity for you to meet him today. Maybe you've been turning back around, I have no clue. But something's been tugging at you and you're here on purpose. And I just happen to believe that since you got dressed and you came to church, that Jesus is also getting ready to knock on your heart. You're in this building and here's what I'm accustomed to. And it may be for you, it may not be. You have these moments in a service where you start getting a little nervous. And you start going, maybe I should meet this Jesus, and you start feeling a little nervous. I want to tell you that that's Jesus knocking. Maybe as Micah was preaching, you start thinking of all the things that you may have done wrong and it dealt with your past. Jesus is knocking to say, give it to me. You've been wondering this whole time, like, what would it be like to have a real relationship with Jesus? The thing that I love that Micah said is that Jesus comes knocking on your door. He's not coming to take anything from you. He's actually coming because he wants to hang out with you and cook in your house. And I don't know about you, even as Micah was preaching, I was going, I wonder, when was the last time I let Jesus cook for me? Because I'm always cooking for him. I don't know, I've got a long list of things that I think make him happy. But I wonder if he's going, Damon, you should let me cook for you now. And so you're in this building, and maybe you've never answered the door, but he's been knocking. If you would you just close your eyes? No one's going to be looking around except for myself. You're in this building and you've heard what Micah said clearly. And I know you saw Micah talking, but God's really talking to you. The Father, not Jesus's dad, but yours is talking to you this morning, and he's knocking on your door. I'm giving you an opportunity to not answer alone. I'm gonna be with you to answer the door. Jesus is here. On the count of three, if you say, Damon, and I know you're here, I need to answer the door and really let Jesus have an opportunity to do life with me. If that's you, no one's looking around, just me, because I wanna know who I'm praying for and praying with. Would you just raise your hand? One, two, three. I see it. See that hand. I see those hands. Hands are up all over the building. You can put it down. I see you. Can I tell you that what you've just done is you've given Jesus access? Now, here's the thing that's going to seal it. You can keep your eyes closed because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to. I promise I'm not going to. Here's what's going to seal it. We're going to pray. And I'm going to pray first, and I just want you to repeat. We're going to give Jesus verbal permission to come into our house and begin to cook our meal. The Bible says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again. Now, it's your faith that allows him to be Lord of your life. So if you will, just join me. Say, Dear Jesus, today I acknowledge that you died on the cross for me. You didn't stay there, but you rose again. I'm answering the door for you. I'm welcoming you to hang out with me every day of my life. Nothing will be stolen because you're involved. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give Jesus some appreciation this morning?
or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.